Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So I want to show you something this morning that I hope is a picture or an image that you will keep in front of us, not only today, but throughout the duration of this new sermon series that we're going to start this morning. And for this illustration, I am going to need quite a bit of help, and it's a big morning this morning, so I'm going to ask you that if I need your help, you come on up quickly. So Vin Mersberg and family, sorry, you're front and center this morning. You're going to help me out. Oh, yeah, I already heard the groaning. And Jason, I got a special job for you. You're going to come over here, and Haley, just come with him. Jason, I'm going to have you start over here on the very end of our stage here, and I need you to put your arms out like this. Just like this. And then Haley, why don't you come next to him? And I need you to almost go fingertip. No, don't touch fingertips, almost, right? And then you guys fill in. And who else? Rob and Linda, you're laughing. So I'm going to have you come as well. You know, that's what happens. I see you laughing. You're going to get participating in this. Jacob and Stephanie, sorry, you're up front too. I know you're so willing. Thank you for helping out. Oh, we got to come in a long ways. I'm going to go here. This is going to be my spot. Oh my goodness, we're already across the stage. Long arms. Yeah, we have all have long arms. Oh my. Okay. Rob and Linda, guess what? You don't have to participate. You're out. All right. Stephanie, I'm going to have you come here. Jacob, you stay here. And then Dave and Janet, can you guys help as well? Actually, I just need one. Janet, you're already up. Sorry. You've been on stage already. This is fine for you, right? And you like it when I go off the cuff, right? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So, all right. So I'm going to go here, Jacob, and then Janet. That work? Okay. You guys can put your arms down. All right. Now, I need your help this morning because I need you to do a lot of imagining with me, okay? So we're going to put our imagination caps back to preschool today. And what I need you to picture this morning is what you're looking at is the expanse of history in a snapshot. And we're just going back about 2,000 years, okay? So where Jason is at is, what's 2,000 years ago? Right around the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, right? We're going to go all the way up, and I get to represent the present moment. And then this is into the future. Can we picture that? Kind of the expansive history. Okay, very good. The other thing I need us to imagine, this is a little bit more, is I'm going to share this with you. I had a baton here, all right? A baton, we know, is often used in a relay race in track, where a runner runs the assigned amount that they're supposed to run. Sometimes it's 100 meters, sometimes 200 meters, sometimes 400, sometimes 800, right? But they run their assigned amount. Sometimes it's the same amount, a 4x1, they all run 100 meters. Sometimes they run different amounts, whether it's a sprint medley or a distance medley, they run different amounts. But they run, and then they hand off the baton to the next person after they run their portion of the race. Yes? So what I need you to imagine is that this baton is the good news of Jesus Christ, the promise of life found in him, the hope that we have in Jesus, the joy and the delight it is to follow him as a disciple of Jesus. Can we picture that this morning? I know that that's a lot, all right? And so what I'm going to do is we're going to take a look at something. I'm going to walk over this way, and I'm going to confess it's show choir season started, and I'm just a little tired. It was a long day yesterday and a little late night, so I'm going to double-check my notes just a couple of times so I do not miss anything. Okay, we're on track. Okay, very good. I'm going to bring the baton over here, and we want to see this in action. So, Jason, you're going to take the baton, and we're going to slowly walk it. You're going to slowly pass it across because we're starting here in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Go ahead. You can start passing it. Just keep going. And we're going to the apostles and the early church, and here we go, Christendom, into the Middle Ages, in the Reformation, and the rise of denominations, and now to the present age, thank you, and then we pass it on to the future, to the next, and we go from there. Fantastic. Janet, can I ask you to do me a favor? While I'm talking, could you walk it across back to Jason, because we're going to have to see something again. Can you do that for me? All right. What I hope we noticed in this little illustration we've got going on is that that baton made its way all the way across this stage, and not one of us moved from our position. Did you see that? That each and every one of us was faithful to the moment that is ours, or the space that is ours, that we took this good news of Jesus Christ that is ours to receive, but never ours to hoard. Ours to receive, but never ours to store away. Ours to receive and to pass forward to the next. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to step out of my spot here, which again is the present age, this moment, right now. And I want to step out of that because here's the other thing I need us to imagine is that each of us who are here are putting ourselves right here in this moment. Can we do that? Because all of us are present right now in this moment, as we'll hear from the scripture passage, by the will of God, he has placed us in this place, and we all are right here. Can we picture ourselves here? Okay. Now let's see this happen again. No, yeah, Stephanie, did not anticipate that one. Point B, no, you're good. Point being, what happens if we step out of the moment that God has given to us? Stephanie almost threw the baton to her husband. But if we step out of the moment, she cannot reach to the next place that is to go. What I want us to see this morning is how important and the critical nature it is. We play a part in this long-standing, eternal chain link. We're an important chain link in this long chain of passing the faith forward, passing on the good news forward, and how critical it is if we vacate this spot. Make sense? You did a great job with your imagination caps. I'll take the baton now. Don't throw it at me, please. You guys can have a seat. Thank them for helping me out this morning. Friends, the question before us today is this. The question before us over the next few weeks is this. Will we pass forward the faith, the gift that is found in Jesus Christ? Will we invest in the discipleship development of others? Will we pass the baton to the next disciples? Because we see what happens if one link of the faith passing forward chain is missing. And I'll maybe just even go on record here this morning and say this, that passing faith forward is perhaps the most critical ministry that we can be about as the church. More important than even a 25-minute sermon we get every Sunday. More important than a Discovery Hour class. More important than a youth group event. More important than a flashy website or even tasty donut holes. But the intentional investment in others, specifically pouring into the faith and the discipleship development of others. Faith that we are faithful to this integral moment that God has placed us into, enabling future moments of discipleship, right? So where I was standing there, and even if I'm looking forward, even if I have peripheral vision, I'm standing there, I'm passing that forward, and really I could, because even of the curve, I cannot see really Janet there. So we are passing faith forward into a future that we might not even see, that we might not ever see, certainly a future that might not even bless me or even have a benefit to me, but I'm passing it forward into something that God knows and God desires us to be a part of, as there are those who've come before us, have passed it to us, and now we go on to others. All part of his greater story, of his redemptive plan. And Westview, I just want to name this morning that this is something I want to give my life to. It's hard to believe, but this coming summer will come upon 20 years of pastoral ministry. And I've always said, or I often would say, my hope is to give 40 years to this. Now, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. But if I do, that means I'm already halfway done. And I've been thinking about, the question, when's the best time to plant a tree? Do you know the answer to that? Susan knows, yeah. When is it?
20 years ago. When's the second best time? Today. And so regardless of whatever time I have left, this is what I want to devote my life to. In Westview, I would love for you to join me in that. That Westview, we are intentional about developing, equipping, discipling, faithful, obedient, passionate followers of Jesus Christ. That we are faithful to the moment that God has invited us into, to pour into others, to pass forward the good news of life in Jesus Christ, just like we see Paul doing with Timothy. We're going to spend today and over the next first few weeks of this 2026 year here in the book of 2 Timothy. These are the final words that are penned by the Apostle Paul. And he is writing to someone that Paul has and continues to significantly invest in, someone that Paul is passing the baton to. And as we explore this letter together, we want to ask ourselves, what are we learning from Paul? What are we gleaning from Paul in his investment into Timothy that sets an example for us of how we can be faithful to the moment, this moment, that God has invited us into, and that we're pouring into others. Now, as we start this, I want to be very, very clear. I'm intentionally not using words like passing faith to the next generation or pouring into the next generation. Because so often what we think about is this, is like we think, well, oh yeah, the older people pouring into the younger people. Friends, when we talk about passing faith forward, that is not constrained to a one-way street that is restricted by age, right? Five-year-olds can invest in others. 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds can invest in others. 44-year-olds can invest in others. 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds can invest in others. And sometimes, yes, it is older people to younger people, and sometimes it can be younger people to older people, and sometimes we can even do it with our peers. This investment is not constrained just to older to younger. Can we be clear on that today? And so what we want to ask ourselves is, what can we learn from Paul in his witness of a final investment into the life of Timothy? And be asking ourselves over the next couple of weeks, who might God be placing on our hearts that he's calling us to invest into, inviting us to pour into, guiding us so that we can be an integral part of the discipleship development of another person, whoever that might be, however old they might be. So we're going to take a look at 2 Timothy today and over the next couple weeks. And we're not going to look at it in order. We're going to look at it in some bits and pieces at times. But we want to glean from Paul different ways and practices that demonstrate the investment in the life of Timothy. And what we learn from Paul today in these first few verses here is that this investment only happens within a personal relationship. That's what's rising from these verses that we're going to read now together. So I would invite you to follow along with me as we read from these words of the book that we love. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Amen. Paul is sitting in a cold jail cell in Rome. This is his second imprisonment in Rome, and it's much, much different than the first. He knows he will not be released. He knows his end is near. There's an urgency that we sense from his words of outpouring, of investment into Timothy in this book. And Timothy is a struggling pastor in Ephesus. He has joined Paul on other missionary journeys. He's been assigned by Paul into this role, and Timothy has great potential. But as we'll see at times, and if you read 1 Timothy, you pick this up as well, he's got some growing edges, and he's in need of some encouragement. And Paul has so much that he wants to share with Timothy. These final words that he wants to pour into his personal development and his professional resolve, words that he wants to share for guidance for life and for faith and for ministry. But before Paul will begin, Paul starts this final letter in the only place that his investment can begin, within an established personal relationship. What we find in these few verses that we read this morning are five different affirmations that Paul gives to Timothy to demonstrate Paul's feelings and his relationship to Timothy. And all of it is before he will give instructions or investment or insights that we're going to explore over the next couple of weeks. In Westview, that's where our investment must begin as well. Pouring into others does not take place sitting in an office or sitting behind a keyboard. Even if we are physically present with the other person, investment does not begin kind of with a little bit of an aloofness, like, I've got this all together, let me share with you something. Or even keeping a guard up and not letting our guard down. But rather, discipleship takes place when we open ourselves up to others. When we take that step of vulnerability and we open our heart, we share our life, we are honest, we are genuine, and we live into one of our core values here at Westview, authentic in relationships. And so we see Paul model this in these first five verses, in these five affirmations that he gives to Timothy. The first one we find in verse 2. Look there with me. In verse 2, we read these words, "To Timothy, my dear son," but there is so, so much more being said here. Paul is saying to Timothy, you're not just my dear son, but you are my beloved. You are my true spiritual son. The Greek word here is agapato, which you can maybe hear the root word agape. Agape is that unconditional, all out, no matter what kind of love. It's a love that knows no bounds. It is a love that God, we say, has for you and for me. And that's the love that Paul has for Timothy. Paul holds Timothy in the most affectionate of estimation. And so before any instructions or any correction can be given by Paul into Timothy, Paul assures Timothy of his absolute care for him. That even though it's been many years since Paul and Timothy first met, even though that it has been many years that they've shared joys and heartaches of ministry together, Paul, he can't start anywhere else than to express to Timothy his genuine love and care. And Wesley, as we think about investing in others, before any words of instruction or guidance will ever matter, those that we pour into have to know how much we care about them. I think we probably have heard before, I don't even know who said it first, but people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And Paul says to Timothy, I love you. The second affirmation that Paul gives is found in verse 3. He's basically saying, I pray for you. And not just praying, I constantly remember you in my prayers. The word there is unceasing. Unceasing is the word. So without fail, Paul is lifting Timothy up in prayer. And so when Timothy is teaching and preaching on a Sunday morning, Paul is praying for him. When Timothy is caring for his flock, Paul is praying for him. When Timothy is providing leadership, Paul is praying for him. When Timothy is going through the muck of ministry at times, Paul is praying for him. When Timothy is thriving, Paul is praying for him. In every moment, in every scenario, in every day, Paul is praying for Timothy. And in part, Paul is recognizing that as great as Paul is and as much guidance and direction that Paul can give to Timothy in his life, Paul knows that there is one even greater, a power even greater than his own. And so Paul, he knows there is one who can bring transformation. There is one who can bring refinement. There is one who can empower and to equip. And so Paul is praying to God for Timothy. Friends, who are we praying for? We may say, oh, I'm praying for my kids or for my family or for my friends or our small group or our leaders, and that's great. But in addition to them, who might God be placing on our heart to pray for? Maybe it's someone that we sense the Spirit of God is working in that person. And we believe that they have great potential to make a huge kingdom impact. I want to pray for that person. Or perhaps we recognize, you know, this person I know is maybe not walking with Jesus right now. So I want to pray for them that the Spirit will soften their heart and they would be receptive to the promise of life found in Jesus. Paul says, I'm praying for you. The third affirmation arising from a personal relationship that Paul shares is this. He basically is saying, I understand you. Look with me in verse 4, please. Paul says, I recall your tears, Timothy. He's likely referring to what was likely the lowest moment of Paul and Timothy's work together, where Paul was arrested in Troas, and he's heading off to Rome a second time, and now there is separation between them, so much so that they're longing to see each other. Paul's bringing Timothy back to that moment. He's basically saying to Paul, or he's saying, Timothy, I've seen you at your most vulnerable. I've seen you when you have your emotions on display. I get you. I know you. Our relationship isn't just based on theology. It's not based on organizational structures. It's not based on putting together an order of worship. No, there's this intimacy in which life is shared between Paul and Timothy. That's a great model for us as well. Where Paul is saying, we co-labor together, we share joys together, we share heartaches together. I get the good, the bad, the ugly, but Timothy, I see you, I know you. That's a model for us as well, right? Because it allows us to know that when we invest in others, it moves beyond theories and practical practices, but we want to cultivate true foundational growth and development. I get you. I understand you. The fourth affirmation we find is also in verse 4. Paul expresses how much he wishes to see Timothy. I delight in you, right? I long to see you. He wants to see Timothy so bad. Well, something we'll see later in this letter is basically Paul tells Timothy at the end of the letter, come and see me ASAP. Come quickly. Right, Paul wants to see him, right? Because Paul finds great joy in Timothy. I'm so thankful for you, he says. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. That word means gladness. That word means inner happiness. And so being with Timothy, sharing life together, brings a swell of joy and delight within Paul. And I just want us to stop and just think about how encouraging that must have been. I mean, all of this, certainly, but that line, when Timothy gets to that part in the letter so early on, how encouraging must that have been for Timothy to think, Paul, who's the apostle, the leader of the early church, the one who penned a third of our New Testament, Paul delights in me. He's excited about me. And Westview, have you ever had someone share something similar to you? How encouraging was it when someone says, I delight in you. I like you. I'm excited about you. I love who you are and the impact that you make on my life. How encouraging was that if someone has said that to you? And on the flip side, how encouraging might it be if we would look to someone and we would seek to invest in someone and we would share with them that we delight in them. You make me happy. You bring me joy. You make me proud. I'm excited about you. I delight in you. And the fifth affirmation we find Paul gives is simply that. He says, he's basically saying, I affirm you. In verse 5, Paul talks about Timothy's sincere faith, a faith that started with his grandmother, was moved on to his mother, and now Paul says, I am persuaded, I'm convinced, also lives in you, Timothy. And Paul is saying to Timothy, I see God at work in you. I see your faith on display. I see God using you. Just as God was at work in those who came before you, God is using you now, Timothy, and he's maturing your own faith as you love and as you serve him. And Paul has evidence of this, right? Timothy and Paul, they served on a missionary journeys together. And Paul saw Timothy's faith in action. And yes, Timothy's got some growing edges. We all do, yes. But before Paul will get to those instructions, he's telling Timothy, I see your good work. I know you're doing it. I affirm how God is using you. And how powerful that must have been to Timothy. And similarly, how impactful that might be to those that we want to invest in, that we say to them, I believe in you. I see what you're doing. I see God using you. You've got this. These affirmations of Paul to Timothy demonstrate the personal relationship that is at the heart of Paul's investment into Timothy's life, his faith, his discipleship, his leadership. And that is only where investment can begin, within that personal relationship. From here, Paul will go on and he'll give great insight to Timothy, insight that's going to teach us as well as we want to consider our own investment. But it starts with a personal relationship. And so as we close this morning, I want to invite us to do just a couple of things. First thing I want us to do is just reflect upon who is that someone or those someones in your own life that invested in us? Someone who was a part of the baton passing to us in our life, whether it was a part of our life, our faith, our discipleship, our leadership, whatever it might be. Who are those people that shaped and molded us into who we are today? Regardless of how old we are, regardless where we're at in our walk with Jesus, we're here right now in this moment, right in this space. Who helped us get here? And how did they possibly manifest one, two, maybe even all five of the affirmations we see of Paul this morning? So here's what I want us to do. As you think about that, really quickly this morning, just turn to your left, turn to your right, turn in front of you or behind you, and share with that person the name or names of who it was that invested in you, and what did they do? How did they reflect what we see in Paul to Timothy? So I'm going to give you just a minute to do that. Find a person, share, and then I'll pull us back together. Ready? Go. I know I walk up and everybody's silent. You can keep talking if you need to, but we'll keep moving. We'll keep moving this morning. So that's part of it. I want us to continue to reflect upon who got us here, who got us to this moment, who helped and shaped us into who we are. And then the second piece of that, and maybe this is something you're already thinking through, is who might God be leading us to invest into? And we're going to keep that to ourselves. I'm not going to have you share again because I want us to be thinking about this and praying about this in this time, at this moment, or at least for now. But what I'd love to do is just give us just a little bit of time of quiet and stillness for us to ask ourselves, or even more importantly, to ask God, God, who would be that person or even persons that you might be placing into my life and you're inviting me to pour into? You're inviting me to intentionally seek them out and play a role in developing their discipleship or their faith or their leadership or simply their life, to pass forward this baton of the life in Christ. So we'll just give ourselves 30 seconds just to pray and to ask God, who are you going to place in my heart? And then I'll lead us in prayer. Let's ask God that now silently on our own. God, I'm just thinking this morning about how these affirmations that we talked about with between Paul to Timothy, how they could absolutely be words from your own lips to us. You love us. Your son Jesus intercedes on our behalf. You understand us. You delight in us, and you affirm who we are in your sight. And so God, thanks for pursuing this relationship with us. Thanks for, as you know, we celebrated just a couple of weeks ago, for investing in us in such a way that you sent your own son into this world, coming to be God with us, that we might be who you have created and we might be who you are calling and shaping us to be.
And God, we'd love for you to continue to lead us in this oh so important work. And so would you, God, maybe even today, maybe over the course of this week, maybe sometime throughout our time of studying 2 Timothy together, would you impress upon us someone or someone's who you are inviting us to intentionally connect with, who you're inviting us to pour discipleship into discipleship development, who you're calling us to pass forward faith. Would you just make it clear to us, God, who that should be and also the timing of that, because we know that's important too. We want to be open to your leading. And God, maybe too, as we pray, maybe you would lead someone to ask us, maybe you would lead us to ask someone to intentionally seek, would you pour into me? Would you mentor me? Would you coach me? Would you walk alongside me? Would you disciple me so that I can be who God wants me to be? So God, help us to be attentive to that too. Who you might be inviting us to pour into, or who you might be asking us to say, come, walk alongside me. God, we want to be open to your leading. God, too, this morning as we bow our heads together, we want to pray as a congregation for one another, for our community, for our nation, for our world. We continue to pray for those with health concerns and ongoing ailments. Again, we pray you bring healing. God, we pray for unrest as we see in our nation, in our world this last week again. And we do not dare claim to have an absolute answer on this, but we ask that your peace would fall upon communities and families that grieve, and that, God, you would bring guidance that would lead through all the complications that seem to be a part of our nation and our world at this time. God, we also pray for this new season that is upon us, you know, now settling into this new year, the realities of busyness and full schedules hit, so we pray for strength and energy. God, we give you thanks for leadership, for elders and deacons, those who have served faithfully, those who are serving faithfully, and those today we celebrate who will serve you well. We pray, too, that you'd be with us at our retreat this afternoon as we begin this year together. And God, too, for ministry that is taking place here and through Westview, for children and youth and adults, local and global missions, worshiping, connecting, and so much more. God, we give you thanks, and we ask for your continued guidance in that in your great love for us, found in Jesus Christ, we might find our rest. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray this prayer. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.